That's all we just saw, that's what I commit to you this morning.
Yes.
Man, just give it all to him.
Yes.
And that's the best thing that we could do. And so it's good to be with you in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to have our visitors. And just pray that everyone just feel at home, feel welcome in the Lord. Just open your hearts to him and just ask him to speak to you. Amen. And if he will. We'll open our Bibles to St. John chapter 14. Well, we're just inside of 2 weeks now. Everybody getting all excited, I hope. Amen. They'll be here and gone before you know it.
Right.
Amen. And so just remember to pray for everyone involved, all the planning and everything. I know it's stressful, but you know it's supposed to be a wonderful time. It's a time of a major time of life. And so just want everyone just to really, as we go through this, to just may their experience in the Lord as him being the bridegroom, may everyone find in all this the joy to recommit themselves even further, their commitment to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So let's just read in St. John chapter 14. We'll begin reading verse 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is Jesus speaking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And then jump down to verse 28, the same chapter. You'll have it on the multimedia screen. And Jesus says, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. Let's just pray for just a moment. Lord, as we bow our hearts to the dust of the earth that we come from, Lord, we know that as we stand here this morning, we are a needy people. Lord, we don't put our confidence in any human being, not even the minister standing behind the pulpit. But Lord, we put all of our confidence in you and know, God, that you promised that you would be here with your people as they're gathered here in your name. And Lord, that you would just be in the midst of us. And so we believe that this morning. We draw from that this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would speak to every heart. Lord, you're the only one that knows what lies within the heart of man, each one. And so, God, we know that you can speak one sermon, Lord, and it would speak to every heart, no matter how old, how young, whatever their conditions are. We know that, God, that you can speak to each one. Because, Lord, you have the words of life, eternal life. And so, Lord, we're just surrendering ourselves to you this morning and ask that you would speak to every person, Lord, both present and those from abroad. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of this morning, a familiar title, Things That Are To Be. Amen? Mm-hmm. Things That Are To Be. And so we're all familiar that Brother Branham preached the sermon, Things That Are To Be, just before the Lord took him home. And so I will be following a lot of the things that he had said there this morning. I'm going to go through this, but you just pull on the word. So Jesus was about to leave them, right? And so he knew that the disciples, when he left, were going to be very sorrowful. He actually talks about it in another place, saying that they would be sorrowful. And so he's speaking to them there. And as the prophet said, you know, for the Jewish people, it was not hard for them to believe that God existed. They had been taught through all the ages to believe in God. And so it wasn't a big thing for them to believe in God. But it was a little bit something different for them to believe that God had came down and was in the form of a man. Yeah. that God was standing there and speaking to him. And of course, we know throughout the journey of the 3.5 years that the disciples walked with Jesus, they finally begin to realize, they begin to understand. And at one point, they said, "Now we know, right? Now we know who you are," and so forth. And so it wasn't hard for them to believe in God, but to believe that he came down in a man. And then even as they come to the place to know that he was there in the form of man, and that whatever he did, God was with him. We know that. But then for them to believe that he would have to leave them. I mean, they were, could you imagine walking with him? Could you imagine being there, knowing that no matter what happened, the creator of the universe is there with you? I mean, you'd say, you know what, ain't nothing, no devil, nothing's coming my way right here as long as I'm with him, right? And it would, what a glorious time. Every day would be a glorious day to wake up and know that whatever was going to happen for the day was going to glorify God, and nothing was going to happen to God's people because we were right there with him. And so, but then to know that great revival looked like it was going to come to an end. He was going to leave them, and for them to cope with that. I mean, you know, they were very happy that he was there and thought maybe, you know, he was going to restore the kingdom to Israel. And we understand how they thought about those things. He thought they would just get rid of all the Romans and set up the kingdom. But and he was here to set up his kingdom, but not in the way they thought. And so for them to begin to realize, you know, and come to this place where he was going to be leaving them, that was going to be a very sorrowful time for them. And then to see that he was crucified. How could this be? How could God come down? And we're now convinced that he is, but how can this be? This just doesn't fit. This doesn't fit our idea that God is going to have to die for us, that this great revival and this great time that we thought had come and had arrived was going to now have to cease. And Jesus knew that they would, as humanity, they would be having a problem with those things. And so he is speaking to them and he's telling them, listen, you believe in God, you believe in me, because I'm going to prepare a place for you. I have to leave and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I will come back and I will get you and take you to that place so that we can be together. And so he's telling them this so that they would have confidence. He told them this in advance. As we read there, he said, I'm telling you now so that when these things come to pass, when you're in the trial, when I'm no longer with you and it looks like Rome has taken over and conquered, when that time comes and you in your humanity, you fail to believe, I'm telling you now so that you'll know that at that hour you will believe. You'll know these things because I'm telling you in advance. And so it's because in that trial, in that time of trial, if there was ever a time to believe, it would be in that moment. Right. Like the Brother Ray was talking about, the lady said that the horse ran away with her. Yeah. Right? The horse was running away with her. And I said, what did you do? And she said, well, I trusted the Lord until the reins broke. Brother Ram said, well, that's the time you need to trust him, is when the reins broke.
That's right.
Right? And so it's in that trial time. That's the time that we must believe. Amen. We have to believe. And so Jesus was telling them there things that are to be. You know, most of the time we think about things that are to be, we're thinking at the end time, oh, you know, when it's all over with, we're all sitting around there in heavenly places and there's no pain, no sorrow, but things that are to be. Jesus is telling them other things that are to be. Right. That they are to be sorrowful and they are to be going through trials and things like that. And all of that has to happen to get to the ultimate place where they'll be joyful. Yeah.
Right.
So he's telling them that. And so, you know, for us, it's not hard for us to believe in God. It's not hard for us to believe that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself. It's not hard to believe that. But to believe beyond what the world shows us and what denomination teaches, to believe that God has come back up and been resurrected through his history, so he's not just a historical figure, but he's alive today, right. To believe that he has come down and once again has walked this earth in the form of a man, not making Brother Branham God, I'm not doing that, But to realize that God had come down through a gift, through a prophetic gift, and done things that even they say no man could do except God be with him, just like they did with Jesus. Yeah. That's a little bit harder to believe. But for you and I who've come to the place where we thoroughly believe that and know this to be the case, but then to see that ministry fade away, him die in a car wreck, you see what I'm saying? You're like, what is happening to this great, glorious revival? And then for us to say, in our own walk to realize, you know what? God came in this message and it shook me. It got my attention. And I realized a great revival has happened in my life. Right? Only to go from that and to go into trials and troubles and sicknesses and sorrows. And we would stand back and say, wait a minute, I thought this was the move of God that had come. I thought I had been translated here into something great. Now why am I having to suffer? Why am I having to go through things just like they did? Right? And it's during those times that sometimes we forget what the end product is. It's during those times we forget the promises that he has given us of coming again and all the different things there that he's promised. It's during those times that we lose sight of the things at the end. But we need to remember in the midst of trial, and we need to believe. In that hour, we need to believe. And so, because we need to believe in things that are to be, right? Not just the end time. Right. See, as sons and daughters of God, we have to realize, we have to know. The scripture says, be still and know that I am God. We have to know that he is God, and there's nothing that happens in our life that catches God by surprise.
That's right.
Yeah. Not one thing. It's hard for us to cope with that and realize, but listen, I've said so many times, don't bring God down and make him limited to the limits of humanity. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Let's let our faith and our belief rise up there to match what he is, rather than trying to limit him and bring him down to where his hands are tied. Mm-hmm. Because when you don't believe his word, you tie his hands.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right. Scripture even says that in one place it couldn't do many miracles there because of their unbelief. So what I want you to really catch this morning is that in order for God's word to come to pass, this may sound strange, but in order for it to come to pass, the things he's promised, someone has to believe. Someone has to believe that. We know there's a scripture that says, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? And I believe, and scripturally could probably explain this, but I believe the answer is yes. Because God doesn't do things for no reason, right? When he does something, there's a purpose. And when he sends a message, there's going to be someone there to receive it. He's going to make sure that they're there to receive it. And so we must realize that no matter what happens in our life, no matter where we go, what's going on, that God is there. It's not taking him by surprise. As we heard last week, he's in the fire, right? He's right there in the midst of those things. So now Jesus was telling him, I'll be going back and forth here, but Jesus was telling him, he said, my life here on this earth is ending for a reason. He knew that they would have a time of sorrow, but he said, listen, it has to be. In order to get to where we're going, it has to be. And so he was telling, he says, my life here on this earth is ending for a reason. And it's not ending in death. Right? It's not ending in death. Jesus might look like, well, he was killed in the flesh, but he was not killed. Right. And so his life wasn't ending in death. If anything, we know it was ending in victory. And so I want to say that to you, that as you go through times of sorrow and troubles and trials and like that, there's not one thing Satan can do to you that ends in death. Right? Even if, as I said Wednesday night, even if somehow someone, you were able to actually die in this flesh, it's not ending in death. Because God is the author of life. He's the only one that can give life, and therefore he's also the only one that can take it. As he says in the scriptures, don't fear the one who can just kill the body, but you fear the one that can kill the body and the soul, right? And so man might, he might crush you and destroy this flesh, but that only changes your dwelling place. It doesn't kill you. God is the only one that can take away. And so no matter what comes your way, you might feel like your whole life is crumbling and crashing, and you might lose everything you have tangible in this life, including your flesh. But that's all this is. That's all it is. It's just the things of this life. It has nothing to do with life. Amen. Not as a believer, you, God's the only one that can that deals with that. And so as you go through trials, just remember that you are in God's hands. We need to remember that. That to get to where we're going, it requires change. And Jesus was telling them, I have to go away. Because if I don't go, the Comforter cannot come back. In other words, in Jesus, we also know in scriptures that he was that Comforter. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Jesus was saying, I have to leave in flesh. And you're going to be sorrowful that I'm leaving. You're going to go through trials and you're going to feel like the whole world's crumbling. But that has to happen before I can come back to you in the form of a Comforter to comfort you. So I must go this route so I can come back in the form of the Holy Ghost and comfort you, and lead you and guide you. And so, to get to where we're going, we have to go through changes in life. Everything we have, it shall pass. Everything in this life, it shall pass. You young people, nice and strong and healthy. This young man here is probably as healthy as anybody I've ever seen. But it will not always be that way. Because this life has to fade away. This life has to, as the prophet said, because it was born in sex, by sex desire, this life has to go away and become weaker, that other one, the one hereafter, can come to strength. And so we realize that the life that we're going to, as the prophet said, it's this life here, but it's a continuation of this life, but it's in another place, another world, another dimension, or however you want to describe it. But that life that we have there starts here. It starts here right now in you, where you're at right now. Right. But he takes it and he moves it to another place. And so he says, this life here has to fade away in order for the next one to come. And so what I want to tell you is, and don't just attribute this to the end of your life. Don't just say, well, at the end of my days, I'll have to come to not here so I can live there. But this applies to every day in your life. Right. Whatsoever God chooses that you must go through in this life, it's not ending in death, no matter how hard it is in this life. It's not ending in death. If it's in God, it's in victory. Because if he has to say no to us, then as Brother Ram said, his no's are better than his yes's if no is the perfect will of God. So we have to accept that. So not just here at the end of our life, but every day when we encounter things that come our way that maybe we feel like is upsetting our whole life. We all experience those things. I was thinking probably pretty much everybody in the church right now going through major things that you feel like things are crashing and crumbling. But it's not ending in death. No. These things, just think about Job. What if when Job was tested and tried, what if, we know the story about Job, but what if God had said, Satan, go down there and test Job, and what if Job would have failed miserably? Think about it. God let Satan go and test him because God knew what he put in Job.
Sure.
And he knew exactly. And so the attribute of God in Job had to be on display. And so God let those things happen, knowing what was in him and knowing what that testimony would be. And that was, the scripture said, that was there for our admonition, for us to remember. And I've not been through something like Job. And I think probably none of us have either, right? And yet, the attribute of God in him testified to the glory of God.
Right.
And so, Jesus was telling them in advance so that they would believe in the hour of temptation. And so, I didn't read it, but we're familiar with the scripture in Jeremiah 29:11, where God is telling the children of Israel, they've been carried away into Babylon. He said, you're going to be in Babylon for 70 years. And other false prophets were rising up and saying, no, and within 2 years you'll be back. But God had said it'd be 70 years. But and we know that happened, but it was a spanking. We know it happened because of what they had done. But nevertheless, even though they were in severe correction and had been carried away into Babylon, God said, you'll be there for 70 years, but he said, you'll be brought back. You will come back. And he said in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think concerning you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. And I say that because as Brother Bram talked about things that are to be, and as Jesus talked about things that are to be, that he was telling them, these hard times are coming, but just keep faith because the rest of it's coming too. Jesus, in essence, was preaching his own funeral. Brother Branham, in essence, was preaching his own funeral, right? At the last, they're telling them that these things will come, hard time will come, but just rest assured, the rest of it's coming too. Just right. Hold tight. And telling us those things that we might believe, I believe God wants us to know what our end is going to be so we can have expectation of the coming of the Lord to change our bodies, to put us in that dimension. So just like he told the children of Israel, you might be in bondage, you might be carried away into Babylon for a while, but I want you to know what your end is going to be, and I want you to have expectations. In other words, you must believe what that promise is. You must stand there and believe what God has promised coming, to come. You must believe that. Because someone has to believe. Someone has to. You know, there has to be a believing heart for the words to lodge in. Brother Ram said, when Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive. And he said that word circled the earth just for hundreds of years. A virgin shall conceive. A virgin circled and circled and finally landed in the heart of Mary. That word could not come to pass until there was a womb, a believing heart, womb of someone's heart that could believe that a virgin who would say, be it unto me according to your words. So it's important that we believe, that we don't lose sight. This brother, sisters, if they come on the air and say the missiles are coming, believe. Believe for that body change. Right? And so, don't let go of the promises of God, because someone has to believe in these things that he has promised. Like I said a while ago, when he said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall we find faith? And I believe the answer is yes, because God will make sure that there's believing hearts there to receive that when that time comes. So, Brother Bram tells us, he says, I guess you know that our being here was pre-planned by God. He said, we are the manifested gene of God. I tell people this all the time. And I mentioned, I think, recently somewhere. He said, show me a species on this earth that was one kind of species and all of a sudden it changed and became something else. It doesn't exist. So, Brother Daniel's children are humans because he's a human. Right? The prophet talks about that it's one cell on top of another cell. He said it's not one cell of a human cell and the next cell is a dog and the next one is a cow. But it's one cell of a human on top of another cell. Because God is developing the life of humans, right, in that example. And so we come here and you do not come here and all of a sudden become a son of God that you weren't. You always were a son of God. You just didn't know it. And so God sent you here, as I mentioned Wednesday night. He sent you. The scripture says you were not born of the will of the flesh, right? Or the will of man, but by the will of God. God sent you here, and if he sent you here, as he doesn't do anything for naught, he sent you here for a purpose. And he sent you here with a life and with gifts and with the ability to be what it is he wants you to be. You just have to come to know what that is through a new birth. So he says, we are the manifested genes of God. Because we are the manifested genes of God. We are the life of God here on earth expressed. Because he is in us as believers, born again believers. Then because of that, we can't live by creeds. We can't live by denominational teachings, Roman creeds and dogmas and rituals or anything like that. We can't live by those things. But we live by the Word of God. That's what we live from. And so in this message, he says, what is the bride? What is the bride of Christ? He says, she's the living attribute of God for this day. Amen? It wasn't released in Luther's day. It wasn't released in Wesley's day. It wasn't released in Pentecostal day of 1906 movement. But it has been released in our day. See, God's not asking the people to be something that he's not granted to them. But he has granted to us by bringing the revelation of Jesus Christ to us. He has done that. And so, Brother Bam said, therefore, because of this, that when the rapture comes forth, she will come forth. Amen. We grow into the revelation of Jesus Christ. Right. One cell on top of another cell. One revelation on top of another revelation. It builds and builds and builds in our life. Mm-hmm. Brother Ram says, if we can see that God brought us, because we're here for his purpose, if we can see that God has brought us to where we are now, can we not believe that he would take us the rest of the way? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, I hope we can. So during the trial part of things that are to be, because there are things that are to be that are glorious, but there is a trial portion of the things that are to be. We must remember, and I'm still talking about what Brother Rem shared in this, we must remember that heaven is a real place. That dimension that we're headed to, although it's probably just going to be right here, is more real than this one. That heaven is a real place. Did you know he said, we're not just going to be sitting around doing nothing. There's going to be things we're going to be doing. We're going to be enjoying things and so forth. And so heaven is a real place. And Brother Bam talks about, he says that we're all different. And when God brought us here, he made this world for us. And so he knew that some of us would like mountains, so he made mountains. And some of us would like valleys, so he made valleys. And some of us would like to hunt. And some of us would like to fish. And some of us like all those things. Some people like deserts, right? So God made this world, and he put everything in it because that would make us joyful, that we would enjoy, that we could look at the ocean and stand on the beach and enjoy it. He made that for us. And we do. We love those things. Yeah. Even people who don't know God love those things, right? Yeah. It's a deep calling to the deep. But Brother Evans tells us that God made everything just this way so that we come here, and he said, we're all different. So he made it so that it would satisfy all the different things, different ones and desires we all had. It would meet all of our needs. And so what he's showing here is that now Jesus says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if he's brought us here and he's made sure that he made everything to satisfy all of us here in this life, then he's also gone to another place there. He's gone there and he's preparing a place for us. And he says, we're all different. Some of us are loud and some are quiet and in different manners of personalities. We're all different. It's all the flower garden of God. He's not a cookie cutter God. We're all different. So he's saying he's gone to prepare a place, And that price that he's prepared for each of us is specially made for each one of us.
Right.
Right? What you really find out is what he's went to build for you is the tabernacle you're going to be in. He's went to build that there. And so, a house custom built for each one of us. A body custom made. So in other words, Brother Matthew, you're going to be just as perfectly happy when you get there. Because it's specially made by him for you. And Brother Daniel's for you and all the rest of you. He's making a special place for you. And so Brother Ram tells me, he says, so see, as I said a while ago, for us to get to that one, this one has to fade away. And so as this one is dying, Brother Ram said, this one is only expressing that one that does not die. The one that he's gone to prepare for us. One that is the same kind of life we have here, but just in a different place, in a greater place. Brother Ram tells us, he says, you know, when a woman gets ready to have a baby, he says a real kind spirit comes upon her. And I've had to be honest with you, we would probably say, I don't see that necessarily. When she's going in labor pains and all these things like that, but you have to realize he was looking through a gift. And he seen things the way God wanted him to see it. And he told us. And so there's something for us to glean from this, to realize. And so he's making a parallel there, and he's showing you here that and he explains it, that when she's getting ready to birth that child, that spirit, that life for that child comes down and present, ready to receive that baby when it's born, ready to inhabit it. And that spirit begins to influence mommy. And that spirit is clean and pure. Mm-hmm. And so it causes her real sweet spirit to come over her, because that's the influence of that baby that's beginning to affect her. And so what you need to understand here is that as this one here is fading away and that one's coming near, there should be a change in the nature of us as believers. As we begin to come and get close to that one, that life, there should be a change that would come over us to show that something's about to happen. And we refer to the whole end time message, hearing from our theophany, and that's what that is. And so he tells us that, and so we should expect that. And so he explains to us, he says, all this stuff that we have in this world, all the scientific achievements, he said, you won't need none of that there. He said, there will be no scientific achievements there. No automobiles, no airplanes. We're not going to need cell phones there. We're not going to need any of these things there, because it's a different realm. Right. He says, this world is a pest house. A place where, used to you'd take people and you'd put them in a place because you didn't want to make anybody else sick. And yet now the whole world pretty much outside has become a pest house. That you want to isolate yourself from the whole world because everything that's going on. Yeah. And so, but he says, this place that we're going to, well, there's none of those things there. It's not a pest house. He said, it's my Father's house. And as he said, what if we had to stay in this one? What if we had to stay here? Even if he saved us. Right, he has. But what if we had to stay in this world, in this body, in this condition? He said, aren't you glad that there's something that will take you from here, something called death, that will take you and put you in a dimension? And so, instead of all this, following what he was saying there, to tell you that this one must fade away, and there's not one thing you can do about it. There are things that come our way. And we, I started out saying there, we're like, I thought this was it. Now why am I going through all these things that I'm going through? I thought we were in a body change. This cycle was now with us. And why am I now going through the things I'm going through? You know, I've mentioned many times about how it talks about in Galatians there about the Son. And though he's heir of all things that the Father has, he's no different than a servant. And I've described that in the past. He has to go out there and work in the field just like all the rest of the servants do. And when the sun is hot and giving sunburns, he has to go out there and work too. He's no different. Yet he someday he's going to own the whole thing. But until that time comes and things that are to be, there's something else that has to be, and that is he has to be out there and be no different than a servant. So when the rest of the world has tragedies in their life, you do too. When they get sicknesses, so do you. Right? Because we would say, and it's really not a humble thing, say, I'm a Christian. I don't have to have this. But you do. Because even though you're a believer, and even though you're going to inherit the whole thing at some point, until that time comes, there are things that are to be that we have to go through to get there. And while you find yourself in this time, you know, for me, like a man says, you know, I think most men are like this, maybe not. If they're not, you forgive me, but most men would say, you know what, I ain't bothering going to the doctor. I'll just ride through it. I've done that. And then wind out whimpering before it's over with and going to the doctor anyway. Right? But you know, as a believer, we can say, you know what? I'm a believer. I don't have to put up with it. God's going to take care of this. And yes, we have those things. We have miracles. We've had healings right here in our own congregation. We've seen those things. But see, sometimes the Lord says, you've got to walk this walk. You've got to walk this valley. And you can't bypass that valley. And so while that's happening, you're no different than the servants out there in the field. You're experiencing the same thing they are, but with a promise. That's the difference. With a promise. Amen? So, we're coming to understand that this world truly is a pest house. You'll find out, if you don't know already, this right here is a pest house. You'll find out if you don't already know that everything science produces has death in it. At some point, and see, God is a God, he lets us have free moral agency. We have to come to this conclusion ourselves, though, that our choice is to let this one fade away that I might go to the next one. And if we fight to hang on to this one, we're making a big mistake. I'm not telling you, don't try to be healthy. You know, we want you to be healthy. But, you know, as I've said in the past, hold on to this world real loose. Hold on to the things of this world real loose, because if God jerks it out of your hand, it won't hurt too bad. Because it happens. Because everything in this life has to fade away, and it's only speaking of the one that's to come. And so, gracefully, I've said, you know, a woman, I can't stand to see that older woman trying to live like she's younger again. Walk gracefully. Just age gracefully. Let the plan of God work in your life, and don't fight it. Don't fight it. And so, we see that these things in this world are falling away, and surely we know that it's a pest house now. And we don't want to stay here forever. So while all this is happening, while we're coming to this place where you realize that this world is, and everything about it, so passing away, we're feeding on the Word of God. And so Jesus left here and went into the form of the Holy Spirit. And what does he do? He's come back, and he's leading and guiding each one of you. And what is he leading and guiding you to do? He's leading you and guiding you to feed on the Word, to pray, read your Bible, and let him have more control in your life. And he's leading you to believe. He's leading you to grow, right? He's leading you to believe, leading you to grow, and leading you to become be overcomers. See, he went to prepare a place, and that's exactly what he's doing. In that place, that realm, he's building your place right now. And how is he building it? He's building it by leading you and guiding you to be overcomers, to feed on the word. And while you're feeding on that word and you're overcoming, that's building the tabernacle that you're going to go to. Amen? And so, he's building that mansion for you. And it's custom built for you. Why? Because you're the one that's living and overcoming that's building it. Right? But he's doing it because he's leading you and guiding you into those things. And so, during our trials, we want to conduct ourselves as Christians, as children of the King. Brother Ben tells the story. You have to ask yourself, why do you tell all these stories? Well, it's because that as he would leave and go away, there'd be this time that we'd be like that slave, like that servant. And we'd have to conduct ourselves like Christians. Tells the story of the man that's a slave, and he conducts himself so well that the slave owner wanted, the buyer wanted to buy him, and the owner says, no, he's not for sale. So why does he act so much better than all the rest? The rest, you know, you don't have to beat this guy to get him to do what he's supposed to do. What's so different about him? And the owner said, well, I wondered that too. And he said, I found out that back in his homeland where he come from, his dad is king of a tribe. And even though he is here as a slave, he conducts himself like the son of a king. Yeah. And so Brother Aaron says, so we as children of God, brothers, sisters, that's what we do. No matter what comes our way, no matter how hot the sun is on our back as we're out there hoeing along with the rest of the servants out there, we conduct ourselves like children, sons and daughters of the king. Yeah. And so, Brother Bram, when he mentions that, he says, you know, so many people want to start out on the top of the ladder. And he says, you can't do that. We all have to start out on rung number one, then go number two, number three. See, we can't bypass trials, troubles, tribulations, all the things that is molding us and making us. As I've said, it takes pressure from the potter. Hand. You have a lump of clay there. We all want to be made into something honorable for the Lord.
Sure.
But we aren't that in ourselves. Yeah. It takes his pressure. And so that hand and that pressure has to change you. You can't be what you've always been. He has to change you into what he wants. Mm-hmm. And so that means change in your life. That means things come along that you don't want. You know? A lump of clay is just a certain shape or whatever, just a certain, you know, and can't drink water out of that. It takes pressure to change that and make it into something where the master can drink out of it. And so that's what God is doing. So how many times will the master drink out of it? As many times as he wants. Right? And so it takes those things to change us. We can't stay where we are indefinitely. We have to let God change us. And sometimes God strips things out of our hands. Right? So we might find ourselves at some point where they shut the church doors and we won't even be able to get together. It might be against the law for us to even try to get together for it. So we don't know. But whatever it is, we keep our eyes on the end to the promise. Amen? And don't while trials and tribulations are coming along, forget those things. This is a sign that you are a child of God, that during those things, you do have a crown and a hunger to do right and for things to be right. Brother Bam said Jesus asked for one thing in his prayer when he prayed. He said that one thing that he asked for was our fellowship with him forever. That's the one thing that Jesus asked for. Brother Bim says, we live in an old garment. This body is like an old garment. It's getting old. It's getting holes in it. You know, I get a shirt, and just about the time it gets broke in good, my wife wants to throw it away. because it's just getting to where it feels good and you wear it and it's got all the, but it might have a hole or two in it. She wants to throw it away because it's getting old. Mm-hmm. Right? But this body is getting old. You young people, your body, you're getting old. Everything in this world decays. But it only speaks of one that does not decay. And that's the one we need to have our focus on. Amen? And so, he said, when that time comes, rapture time comes, he said, you just take off this coat, this, and you put on a new one. But he rehearses the scriptures where they had the wedding supper. And they went through there, and everybody was supposed to everybody was going to be given a garment to wear by the host there at the wedding. And they came to a man that did not have the wedding garment on. See, there's a change. We have to change. And we have to put on the wedding garment. We can't keep wearing the old one. We have to put on the garment that matches the thing that's coming. Right. So we have to let the Word of God change us. Right. And Brother Raymond said, see, in that parable, he said, they found a man there that did not have a wedding garment on. And they cast him out into tribulation, out into outer darkness. But here's what he said. He said, that man wanted to hang on to the old coat. That man's pitfall, his failure, the thing that made him not welcome in the wedding supper was because he wanted to hang on to the old garment instead of letting the new one be put on him. And brothers and sisters, we're coming to this wedding, you know, the scripture is granted to her to be arrayed with fine linen, clean and white, right? We have to be dressed accordingly, and God has given us what will address it. That we can be dressed in. But see, if we want to hang on to the old garment, we're not going to be welcome there. And so he's telling us that. So we have to let these things happen and move us in the direction to where God is changing us and preparing us so that we're fit and ready and appropriate for where we're going. See, you've heard it said so many times that Enoch, he walks with God. And at some point he found out he was closer to God's home than he was his own home. Wow. And that's the way it is. You've heard the phrase, I want to be so heavenly minded that I'm no earthly good. Yeah. And that's true. See? But you have to let the Word of God do that. And we don't know the path. As I said the other day, we've never been this way before. We have to let the Word lead us and guide us down the direction that He wants to take us. And so we don't want to be trying to hold on to the old garment. So the Lord has told us all these things, as he did to them, and as the prophet told us. He told us these things, so as the hard times come, we would believe that in that hour, we would not forget the end product. And so that if the Lord tells us that we need to go through something, we read it there just a little while ago, he said, I've got to leave. And if you take it with the other scriptures where he's talking, he said, I know you're going to be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. But he says, I have to leave. And I'm paraphrasing so that you understand what I'm trying to get to you. He said, I have to leave. But if you really love me, you'd rejoice because I told you I have to leave. We read that a while ago. You would rejoice. See, if you really understand the program, that everything God does in your life is necessary for you because he's building your tabernacle. Amen. Everything that you go through is necessary for you. Somebody else might not be going through that. There are people I know that go through things I wouldn't want to go through. And they might look and say the same about me, right? But he was saying, I've got to go, and you're not going to like it, but if you really understand my program and you really love me, you'll let this happen because it's necessary. Because the end products could be better. Right? So he says, I'm going to my Father, and my Father's greater than I. In other words, I have to leave here. There's only so much I can do here in the flesh. I have to leave and go to that realm so that I can come back and do further work in you in the form of the Holy Spirit. And so we have to begin to understand that if we really love him, we really love the Lord, then we accept what he lets come our way. Still believing, still trusting, still pulling for the promises that he's given, but we trust him anyway, and we rejoice. You look at Brother Miller. What happened to him? Just like I said a while ago about Job, God was glorified in the life of Job, was he not? And I will tell you, God has been glorified in the life of Jane Miller, because his testimony and his wife's testimony have been pat, right? They've not lost their faith. They still believe. They're still believing God for everything. And God has been glorified in that life, right? So none of us say, well, I want to go that route. We wouldn't say that. We don't get to pick our valleys. We don't get to pick those things. But whatever they are that come our way, God will be glorified in it because you're a believer. Because he knows what he put in Job and he knows what he put in you. But during that time, see, God, you know, he says, I won't let you be tempted above that which you're able, but with every temptation I'll bring a way of escape. Right? And so, as children of God, God will be glorified. But if he sends us something our way and we go through something, it's because we need it. And we must rejoice in it, because he's not going to send something our way that we don't need. It's the pressure of the potter's hand upon us to mold us and make us. And we have to be still and know that he's God and say, thank you, Lord, for every trial you put me through. As we've said in the natural, people will say, you know what? I'm glad for every spanking I got and should have gotten more. But we didn't say it during the time when we were raised, when we were going through those things. So to say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you that everything you do in my life is necessary. And that there's something for me to learn and something for me to gain out of all of it. If we love him, we accept all of his answers, whether they're yes or no. And if you look at what he did for us, as the songs there a little while ago, when he died on Calvary for us, there wasn't anybody else that could do it. He was the only one that could do it. But what if he said, no, I'm not going to? But he didn't. By him doing what he did, he took everything away from us that was negative and death, and placed us into life eternal, where nothing will ever touch us again. That's what he purchased for us. And so, you know, if I loaned you $1,000, and then one day, you know, that I had loaned that to you, and then one day I come along and said, hey, I need to borrow $5 from you, what would you do? I think you would do everything you could to give me $5. Because, $5, that's nothing to $1,000, right? So if the Lord has done what he did, which he did, then if he asks us to walk a little ways with him through a trial, then we know he knows what he's doing. And we happily say, Lord, and I've actually said this before, and you say this because we're a dying people, right? We're leaving this world and going on, see? And so we preach like a dying people, a person to dying people, right? And we live that way because we know every day might be our last day. But I've said it, Lord, trembling, saying this, knowing that you're talking to the Almighty God who has free, and we give him, right? He's going to have it anyway. But I say, Lord, I'll walk through this valley if you want me to. I will. And I want to love you in it. Mm-hmm. And we do that trembling. Because our life, we should be walking in desperation. Mm-hmm. Because that's where it is. A life of desperation. That any moment that I realize that when I leave the house every day, I may not come back and see my family. Or I might come back and some of them might not be there. I know this. And we should live our life every day. That's why the scripture said you can be angry, but sin not. But don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let these things, you have division with someone, don't let it linger. Get it taken care of. Because every day might be your last day. Amen? And you wouldn't want to leave this world at odds with anyone. Even if it's somebody that you've been at odds with your whole life, you wouldn't want to do that. And so, Jesus told us all these things so that as we go through the trials, we can believe. Amen? I don't end by saying this. Don't forget this, that everyone is going through trials. And you remember them too. You remember them and pray for them. And do what you can for them, because your actions to other people, you can help them or you might hinder them. Right. And if there's anything, as a Christian, if there's anything we can do to help one another gain victories in their life, we want to do that. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Don't be selfish. We all have the ability to be selfish. Don't be selfish, right? Think of others, because it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Because that's the nature and character of Christ. That's just let the musicians come and bow our hearts for prayers. Let's pray. Lord Jesus. Lord, it's been good to be here with your people this morning, to be in the house of God. And so, Lord, we just ask them. These things that have been spoken, Lord, that you would just grant into their hearts, Lord. That I know that, Lord, it may be what we would refer to as plowing, digging deep. But, Lord, that's the hour we live in, that you've given us these truths, Lord. It's to make this bride different than the rest of the world, and to make her be that one, Lord, that's truly ready for that dimension. Truly ready for this wedding supper. So we just pray, God, that these words, Lord, that your people would be able to recognize this and take these things and put them on. Let that be part of the garment that they put on to wear. And not hang on to this world and the things of this world, but to fully understand the decay of this world, and may give them a much greater desire to reach out to those things that you promised. We commit them to you, Lord, and just pray that you meet each one at their level. Every family in this church going through hardships right now, different ways, different things. And Lord, sometimes they might wonder, why? Why, if I am a Christian, why do I have to go through these things? I pray, Lord, that through these words this morning, they would encourage them to realize that these things are so because they have to be so. And Lord, that you would give them that confidence just to keep looking forward and believing, knowing that these things shall pass. And the Lord, that you are building over there on that other side an enduring substance for us, Lord. We just thank you for these things. Pray, God, that you just commit these things into every heart deeply, Lord. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand and worship just for a moment.
Because it's you, Lord. You're the one that makes the difference, Lord. Lord, I commit them to you.